see from him again. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, man. It's great to be back.
Good to have you with us here. So what have you been up to?
I'm trying to have our twins. That's definitely my priority, is just making sure that my wife's healthy right now. We are expecting twins any day now, two little girls. So, you know, that'll bring four kids into my household in about, you know, a couple days, whatever. And then working on a really interesting movie called Nine Line. I was director of it and got to act in it and everything else. So it's
well, wait a minute. You're directing and you're acting. What about your friend, the Great Potato, here in Idaho? I could have had a role. I mean, if you needed someone to sweep the floor.
Hey, if you have access to an actual news desk, then we'll get you a quick one-liner. We need our news desk guy to play a role, because he bailed on us for whatever reason.
Look,
last second.
I'll be more than happy. I'll go all over town and we'll get a news desk. Trust me.
Yeah, beg, borrow, and steal, right?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So, Kerry, here you are. Let's talk to about something personally. You've lived an extraordinary life. You've served our country. And here you are getting ready for the birth of your twins here. What type of world are they entering, sir?
You know what, man? I wish you didn't ask me that, because until you just asked me that, I really avoided having to think about it, unfortunately. It's, you know, I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be, number one. I'm not going to be that guy that gets paranoid over nonsense. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of threats out there that, as a young child, you nor I had to really be too concerned with. I mean, I still remember being concerned about, you know, nuclear war and dropping underneath the desk, you know, for, you know, little, instead of a fire drill, we would have bomb drills.
Duck and cover, yeah.
And I was still at that age where, you know, I got the end of that. So it's different. There's no doubt that it's totally different today. But, you know, we face threats. Our kids are going to face threats. Our grandkids, everybody's going to face threats. Threats will never go away. Are they any nicer than what we dealt with? No, but they're just different.
Indeed, and we'll get to that. Now, before we go, though, I do want to talk a little bit about this movie. Tell us a little bit about this movie. You're acting, you're directing. Kevin Miller at a news desk looking like the biggest man on TV. What's going on?
Yeah, the movie Nine Line, you could actually you know, go to Facebook and type in Nine Line movie. Just write the number nine. Don't spell it out. Nine Line movie. And basically it's a love triangle between a guy who is a veteran who became a contractor overseas, who is torn between managing his family life back here in the U.S. and leaving his brotherhood that he was serving with abroad. He's dealing with survivor's guilt and a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, he's trying to regain. And what we did is we created, through a very entertaining means, an awareness piece about veteran PTSD and veteran suicide. There's 22 a day, you know, one every 65 minutes is the average. And some people say that estimate is low. But our goal was to create an entertaining, educational awareness piece that would be a feature-length film to help spread the news of reality to everyday Americans. I mean, your listeners know about this crisis that we endure, but unfortunately, the majority of Americans are clueless towards it.
Well, let's get into this. Last night, an attack in Afghanistan, killing over 50.
Yeah.
This is going on all the time, and I'm sorry, my friend, you predicted this.
Yeah, this is what kills guys like myself and some of my really close buddies. Look, there was a time that I was very closely associated with an entity called Eclipse Group. Eclipse Group brought out the most accurate and up-to-date intelligence related to Afghanistan and Pakistan. Our own military, contrary to what anybody wants to think, our own military could not provide the intelligence that the persons from Eclipse Group provided. And that's not me telling you that. That is an array of generals out of the Pentagon that have said this. That's an array of congresspersons. You know, everybody, you know, downplayed the group known as Eclipse Group because in 2010, the New York Times brought out a really nasty article about Michael Furlong and Dewey Claridge and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, and I bring that up because the Eclipse Group, from the start of their operations all the way up till today, even though they're in non-existent today, we still talk to one another. And we have still been saying ever since this has, you know, started, this fiasco, that this was not going to turn out right. No matter what we did, if we continued playing the game how we were playing it, we would lose and the Taliban would take back control over the country. And that's what they're doing right now.
You know, Kerry, you live in the world of fact, but, in fairness, you are getting into the theater world, if you will. So
yeah.
I was telling Dave Burnett this. I watched Homeland the other night. And you keeping up with that or not? You know, no, Kevin, I got a life. Okay. And the way it's portrayed, how the Pakistanis are double dealing with us, I don't know if that's the case. I'd like to think that it is, but you know, the Pakistanis are playing us against the Taliban, and we're giving them a ton of money.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, it's not just the Pakistanis. Everybody's playing everybody right now. That's the world of espionage. That's the world of intelligence. That's the world of clandestine and covert operations. There are no true friends in this world. Yeah, we might have one, maybe if we're lucky, two. But outside of that, we don't really have friends. We have strategic partners that are always temporary. The House of Saud has been playing us like a puppet. You know, they are our puppet master. Qatar, UAE, all these Arabian states have been playing us. If you look at, you know, really Central Asia and look at our relationship with India during the Cold War, it was nil because they were so close of an ally to Russia. Today, we've worked that relationship and we've became very close with them. However, let's be realistic. You know, they're a relatively new ally to us. So how much trust do we put in them versus putting into the Pakistanis? Well, the Pakistanis were never close with the Indians. So they were a little bit upset that we turned around and decided to make the strategic relationship with India while they were our enemy during the Cold War. You know, so there's reasons why people don't trust us. And I think bringing India into the fold to understand our relationship with them would better understand why Pakistan is pretty untrustworthy towards us.
Well, did we miss a lot when Musharraf left?
Oh, totally. Yeah. You miss a lot, though. See, here's what people don't understand. You miss a lot when every leader leaves. Whether your nation was really close with that leader or not, what happens is you learn how to play those leaders. And once you figure out that little chess match on how to play the leader, whether you're friendly or not, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the fact that you know how to play the game. And every time you have a new leader come into play and a new administration, you have to relearn the right moves.
Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So, again, as you predicted, this would not be reported. We're seeing this violence going on. We allegedly got a status forces agreement with the Afghanis. What's going to happen when we have the symbolic pullout? Is it going to be open season on our folks?
No, I think what you're going to see is it's not going to be as nasty as we think. I mean, I don't even know what that means, really. Let's look at it like this. Will there be violence? The answer is yes. Will there be bombs and bullets, you know, exploding? Yes. Will it be as rampant as what we saw back in, say, 2002, 2006, 2008? No. Will it still go on? Yes. And really, now you have to look at what are the roles, you know, and the different roles that we're going to be playing and the different missions that we will be undertaking will determine how the blowback is received from the Taliban to us.
Yeah, Kerry and Kerry Patton with us at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. It just, you know, they view things so differently from us. It's almost as if no matter how good the intel, how good the analyst is, there is just this huge disconnect that I don't believe that we will ever be able to comprehend. They quote the Crusades. They quote Saladin. They quote all these folks from the past as if it happened 5 days ago instead of, you know, centuries ago.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable if you think about it. I mean, is it wrong for me, or am I like, is something like, am I sick or something like that? But I actually really respect that about them.
And they've mastered the media.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Carrie, please hang on, because we do want to get more of you and your movie and, you know, soon to be father of twins. Carrie Patton with us. Carrie Patton.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Back to our friend Carrie Patton, man of the world, Carrie-Patton.com. Carrie, it's been a while. I don't even think we've talked to you about the rise of ISIS here. What do you make of them?
Yeah, I don't know what I make of them, because the truth of the matter is I don't think ISIS exist as the media has portrayed them out to be. Just like I said in the past, I don't think Al-Qaeda truly exists as everybody thinks of them to be. And so far, when I said that about Al-Qaeda, most people thought I was crazy, and then all of a sudden they started to realize I was right. There is no true such thing as a central organization known as Al-Qaeda, just like there is no such thing as a central entity known as ISIS. What we have is we have radicalized Islam, saturate a ton of minds throughout specific regions in the world. There is no true leader, and those that claim responsibility as leaders, we know, can be taken out within a matter of seconds, and the next thing you know, equal time, seconds, they have a new leader pop up. So I think it's a grave mistake that we start romanticizing these entities as true organizations with a hierarchy, when in fact the hierarchies are pretty much meaningless for those that do exist, and in my eyes they don't really exist in any way. Yeah, there are some leaders in some clan or tribal types of groups. But if you look at those groups, you'll often see there's a huge amount of infighting that exists. So, again, I'm not going to sit and give them any type of credit by claiming that they are an actual structured organization by any means, because they're not. This is radicalized Islam. This is an ideology, which means pretty much anybody that falls into the Islamization of this ideology, no matter where they're at globally in the world, can easily articulate that they're part of this entity called ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Al-Nusra or whatever you want to call them. Let's not give them a name, and let's just call it what they are. They're you know, ideologically demented, you know, Muslims.
And in that, though, they are selling oil and stealing and such. So if they're not an official entity, what do you make of their self-funding themselves, or is that a media creation?
No, that's a media creation as well. There's no doubt about it. Now, what happened is the media took a lot of fact, and they skewed the fact with just a snippet of non-factual information to sensationalize reality. What is happening is there are pockets of these groups. They are tribal types or clan types of groups that are in key locations that have specific amounts of assets, monetary assets. Those specific groups are putting those assets into the black market and making sales. Okay, so that's a fact. And the media was correct on that. However, not all of ISIS, for what exists of it, is getting a gain or some type of award, monetary award, through that little group sale. There are pockets of ISIS fighters that are really hurting right now with ammunition, food, medical supplies, and so forth, while other pockets are living a lavish life. Well, The reason behind that is because they're not disseminating their money appropriately. They're not disseminating their money to all of the groups. They're only keeping the money internally to those that are making the profit. I hope I'm making sense on this one.
You are, and let me build on this because it's been a while. You know, we've missed you. I know you have a life outside of Kevin Miller here, Kerry, but I have to hit you with this. What's going on in Iraq now? I mean, the president covertly sending folks there, and we spent all this money. You've dealt with those folks, and when ISIS came in or this group came in, everything fell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that Iraq is falling. It didn't fall completely yet. But my biggest concern right now is Kurdistan. Everybody on social media, I watch this all the time on Facebook and stuff like that, and I think it's hysterical. Everybody on social media is just like chanting, go Peshmerga, go Peshmerga. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I want them to win too, but here's the problem. They can only do so much with so little, you know? And that's where I'm really concerned about Kurdistan. The Peshmerga are utilizing weapon systems that are pretty outdated, and they're really, really low on ammunition. And we have constantly said as a country that we were going to support them, we were going to help them, we were going to provide for them. And unfortunately, a lot of the equipment that we're supposed to provide to them is not making it into their hands. It's not even leaving the United States, some of this stuff. So I'm just concerned that if ISIS, whatever you want to call it, is really, really smart, they would not necessarily be too concerned about Baghdad right now, and they would start looking closer at Kurdistan because they have the same rat lines going into Turkey and Iraq simultaneously, along with even Syria, and that's what's unique about Kurdistan. And if you look at how ISIS is operating right now, if you look at Syria and Turkey specific, you'll see that they have a direct passage into Iraq through the Kurdistan, the traditional Kurdistan area, not just the Iraqi Kurdistan.
Kerry Patton with us, Kerry-Patton.com. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So besides the region being a mess, what's optimistic here?
I don't know. Sadie Robertson might be winning Dancing in the Stars. Is that pretty optimistic? I don't know. What I think is optimistic is the fact that people are waking up and they're seeing there's a lot of crap going on that people are just ticked off about. And when you look at the people, as in the world population as a whole, just getting smarter and more educated, what happens is politicians start waking up to that as well, because the biggest fear a politician must have, in my humble opinion, is a really educated constituency. So when you look at it like that, I have to assume that that's one of the reasons why we saw our Congress and Senate change on this last election. And because of that, if I was Qatar specific and UAE specific, I'd be paranoid, because what's happening is the American people are slowly but surely getting smart about how countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and UAE, the Arab states, if you will, have manipulated the United States and have funded and fueled these terrorists, which we have to go fight. And for me, that's a very optimistic thing. Reason being is because the next war that we fight, which I would actually really jump up and down and encourage us to fight, would be to beat the living crap out of Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Qatar.
Wow. You're not holding back. Let me get you in a couple more things here quickly, Kerry, at 580KIDO. You were right about Bo Bergdahl.
No.
I mean, you were. You were right about that. And we have to give you credit for that as we move along. What do you make of that whole deal that you knew about that you couldn't tell us about back here at 580KIDO?
I don't make anything of it, Kevin. And the reason being is, as I said, like, I've been associated with some guys that are really, really special guys. And I want to start talking about them more and more, known as Eclipse Group. Slowly but surely, people are going to really understand the true reality behind Eclipse Group. It was by far the greatest intelligence apparatus the United States government has had in the 21st century. And, like, a lot of people said that things were sensationalized. Like, oh, you don't really know X, Y, and Z. Well, no. When you have a human network, I'm not talking about a technical intelligence capability. I'm talking about a true, no-nonsense, vetted human network. It's unstoppable. And things sound far-fetched. There's no doubt. Things sound far-fetched. But they're not far-fetched. And it's reality. And that's why I could say a whole bunch about the Bird Dog case right now if I wanted to. But why? So I could throw it in other people's faces? I don't need to do that. I'm going to take the high ground because I know I was right.
You were indeed. So, my friend, what should we be looking out for in the coming months here?
In the coming months, look out for two big things. There's going to be some two badass women that are in this world who are just going to make people, like, fear their, for their lives, all right, and because they're my daughters. That's
I wondered about that, yes.
The other one is, again, go to Facebook, type in the number 9, and then write the word line, the movie. Go like our Facebook page. It's going to be a great, great movie. We got every male, by the way, excluding one. Every male excluding one was a former operator of some sort. I had a CIA representative in there. I had 75th Ranger, two U.S. Navy SEALs, Marine, MARSOC, and then little old me, the contractor. You know, so like it's really military centric, and they're all actors, by the way. So go like our Facebook page. That's a big one. We're hoping that will be fully edited before Christmas, and then we can start disseminating it hopefully around January, February. And other than that, you know, everybody just needs to be safe, be on the lookout, because there's a bunch of idiots in this world, especially here in the United States. When this verdict releases with that, you know, the shooting out in Ferguson, you know, I know Philadelphia itself is expecting some riots. There's already been leaflets out in Philadelphia about that. So don't think it's going to be Ferguson Central. It's going to be throughout the United States. So just watch your six.
Finally, one more time on the Facebook.
Yeah, it's the number 9.
Yep.
And then write out the word line, L-I-N-E, and you'll see, you know, it's three people standing by a doorway overlooking a field. Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to find it right now, brother. I appreciate it.
You can't miss it, Kevin.
I'm working. Thank you, Kerry.
You are a social media wizard.
Hey, by the way, speaking of this wizard, you need a news guy. You let me know. If you like plump guys, I can make it happen.
Hey, who doesn't like St. Nick?
This time of year. Kerry, congrats.
All right, man, you have a good one. All right, brother.
Take care. Thank you, Kerry.
Right,
bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, our great friend, Kerry Patton. Nine Line, the movie at Facebook. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Dave Pezzo with us to talk a little money news. And I'm going to parrot a little of what you talked about earlier on Channel 7, low interest rates now, low interest rates forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, right now, this is a very interesting time. We have stopped QE, QE 1, 2, 3, infinity, whatever. So we've stopped doing it. And interest rates are down from where they were a year ago. This is a very odd thing if you're trying to figure it out. But when you look around the world, Kevin, you've got interest rates cut last week in China. You've got interest rates being cut virtually every day in Europe, or at least every month. And they're talking even more stimulus now to try to defeat deflation. And, of course, we aren't exactly taking off as an economy here. So interest rates staying low, it's kind of global. And low interest rates forever? Well, at least as far as the eye can see, maybe forever is too long. But there's no reason to think that we should go any higher at all.
And even though the interest rates are still low, housing has slowed down. Is that because it's this time of year, or is there a bigger issue here?
I think the issue is bigger in the affordability. If people don't find good jobs, they're not going to be able to afford a house, no matter how low interest rates are. So we saw this dead cat bounce off the bottom, and now we have to have sustained economic growth to put people in those homes. So I think housing should continue to recover, but at a slower pace.
Right, but, you know, and here's the issue that we have, and let's break this down locally now. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, but I don't think that we can talk about it enough. And these homes that are being built, people have to live in them, but they have to have jobs that pay.
Mm-hmm.
And here, we have a lot of service industry, top five in hospitality jobs, Boise area. But in addition to that, you still have to pay these homes that they're being built today or they're being sold, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 homes. Who's going to live in them except the people that are moving here from California, like, you know, they sell their home for whatever, and then they come here and live like kings?
Well, they do, relatively. They're obviously put a little bit of money in their pocket if they're buying the same home here than that they
right.
had in California. And that's good, though, Kevin, from an economic perspective. You and I may feel like there's more traffic than there used to be, and you're not sure you want all these people moving in. But the reality is it's good for the economy. And wherever those people come from, I get what you're saying about having homegrown type jobs, but we do have some of those. And some of the people that are being attracted here are coming for jobs. They're not retiring from California necessarily. Some are, but they aren't all doing that. They're all coming here. Some are coming here for jobs that do pay.
Indeed. Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. But, you know, we'll get to the end of the year and everything else. However, you know, I think about big industry. Is the age of big industry, the factory plant, over? Are we all going to be our own type of LLCs, if you will?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's really positive when you think about it.
A nation of free agents, really.
Right, exactly. People have talked about it before. You always, that's the way news is reported, right? You always see the headline, the death of the pension. Well, I would call it the rise of independence, because when we think about that, you aren't saying I have to stay at the same crappy job somehow, survive to get here for 20 or 30 years before I vest for a pension. Your pension, your 401k, moves with you. And so I see that as a freedom. I also see small businesses blossoming, not necessarily all LLCs, like you're saying, everybody's a free agent. I think there's going to be a lot of small businesses. But I don't see any reason why we're not going to grow from five employees on up to 10 at some point, Kevin, as an example. And that's certainly not a giant industry. We're not super rapidly growing, but it's a contributor.
On the other hand, and a lot of people that are listening now understand this, that if you have a job with the government, it used to be that if you worked for the government, you did it for the love of the game, for the security and everything else, you know, you got a good deal, but you're having, and we see this with the stuff, folks retired from California coming here,
yep.
six-figure pensions, hey,
yep.
that's a good deal if you can get it, but it's Dave Petzo and Kevin Miller in the private sector that are supporting that, where you have this two-tiered retirement system. And we have the rubber hitting the road where one day we're not going to be able to support this. I mean, it was some government jobs. You get paid this, paid that, everything else. And you have people on the other extreme trying to create jobs and make payroll.
Right. And, Kevin, I think we hit that peak of absurdity here a few years ago of the idea that people have $200,000 pensions.
And then they get another job.
And they can get another job because
right.
they only have to put in a minimum amount of time. So I think we've hit that peak of, if you will, politicians buying public union votes. And I think that is we've seen the outpouring in Illinois. We've seen the problems in Detroit that are
the legacy costs. Yeah.
The legacy costs. And we've also seen in this last election the complete repudiation of all that. You know, it's like, well, maybe that was a mistake 4 years ago. No. The governorships were ridiculous. With Kasich won by 31 points.
In Ohio, yeah.
In Ohio, absurd. And Scott Walker winning in a targeted race.
Which, let's face it, they're not exactly red states, Ohio
exactly.
and Wisconsin.
Very blue, very, 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 very,
very lib.
Union.
Yes.
And targeted in Scott Walker's case, targeted by the Democrats and the unions as we have got to win this race. And they didn't. And so to me, that says a lot about what's going to happen with those public pensions, continued reform. But going forward, Kevin, I think that even on a government basis, they're seeing instead of the ever increasing defined benefit plans, It is now you have to participate. You're putting more money in, and we're going to see more 401ks, even in the public sector.
I'm with you, but how do you, you know, we talk about fairness, and of course, the great president that we have has talked about fairness. When you have people that, let's say, have kicked in the Social Security, blah, 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 and we're saying, well, we're going to have to get rid of your Social Security, but then on the other extreme, you have people that are doing well with the pensions. So when does the rubber meet the road for these folks with the gold standard pension plans? Because we don't have enough employable folks to sustain these things.
No, we don't.
The tax burden, even in Idaho, is insane. We all got our property tax bills. You know, what major shift will happen, whether it's, you know, the state saying, I'm sorry, we're only going to honor 50% of your pension funds now?
I think they're going to honor them, unless there's a bankruptcy like right, Detroit.
I don't think that they can. I mean, let's face it, California is in debt, blah, blah, blah. You mentioned Pennsylvania. I remember working in Pittsburgh, and you're going to love this. The state law said that 70% of the pension fund had to be funded during the mayor's race, which they reelected the incompetent Democrat. It wasn't because he was a Democrat. He was just incompetent. The pension fund was at 19%. But those folks wanted to keep those good union jobs. I get that. Look, I get putting it into it. But on the other hand, if you're going to knock Bessie, who worked all her life, and take away her benefits, how can we sit there and say it's okay for someone to collect 100, 200 grand for the rest of their lives when we're robbing from the poor widow?
Right. No,
does any political party have the will to do this, because there are going to be repercussions from that?
Well, there's two aspects, though. There's also the legality. It's not just the political will. You can't just have a pension fund there and then take it away from people.
Well, where are you going to get the money from? The magic checkbook?
That's where the bankruptcy comes in. If you have a bankruptcy, it changes the laws. But no different than a corporation. I can't have a pension plan and then say, oh, you're retired now, Kevin? You're 75 years old? I'm glad you had the last 10 years' checks, but we're going to stop them now.
Right.
You can't stop them now unless there is a bankruptcy. If there's a bankruptcy, it's a different situation because there is no money to pay for them. So if you do have a legitimate bankruptcy situation like Detroit, it's a chance to fix some of those legacy costs. Do I think they're all going to go away and literally the checks don't show up? No. But the absurd checks, yes.
It does, though, again.
Those are getting cut.
We go back to John Edwards, The Two Americas. It does show you a great division that is happening in America subtly, subconsciously. And maybe, Dave Pezzo, you and I are the only people talking about it here, where you have the public folks working for state, local, city, government, doing quite well. I mean, going to Italy in your retirement, you put in 30 years, blah, 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 traveling the world. And you have other people that are driving the economic engine that aren't doing so well. So, I mean, we're going back to this division.
Well, we are. But don't we like to do that? Isn't that what we do?
I think it's getting...
It's a comparison game.
I think, though, it's not just the haves and have-nots as far as wealth, but when you're talking about government entities making, rewarding folks with this stuff. And again, in fairness to the government employees, those benefits have been scaled back as opposed to their predecessors.
Right.
But, you know, I look at people today that are, you know, small business folks working hard, and they have no safety net.
No, and they have to actually work harder, much, much harder than public.
They don't get how many days off guaranteed.
No.
You know, it's a
well,
different
they do,
world.
Not paid.
Is that exactly? Is that healthy for our economy that so much, and remember, under President Obama, as you've talked about on Saturday, we've come from an initiative society to an entitlement where the government does everything for us.
Right. That's the mentality.
Right.
And what that really is it's a slave mentality. Isn't it interesting that the first black president has a slave mentality? Well, he does. It's not a question of when you have entire societies, which we do, now that are multi-generational, have never worked.
Right.
You have to at some point in time say, maybe our system isn't working. Why don't we change some things? And they have changed nothing. Nothing. This president has not tried to change the dynamic of the poor communities in our country.
Coming up next with Dave Pezzo, the four words that could deep six Obamacare.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, money for nothing, your chicks for free. Oh, if it were only that easy. Dave Pezzo with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. From today's USA Today, four words that could deep six Obamacare established by the state. When it was being crafted, it was assumed that all 50 states would create their own exchanges. After it passed in March, it became clear that many states would rely on the federal government to operate them as the law allows. In 2010 or 2012, 2 years later, the IRS made the subsidies available in all states. The law challengers claim they cannot be offered in exchanges operated by the federal government. 36 states fit into that category. Without the subsidies, insurance costs would skyrocket. So we go back to that, the four words, if you will, that we're talking about here is, you know, has to do with, you know, established by the state. Not all states have these things. So what do you make of that?
There are so many different things that are going to be popping out in regards to Obamacare. Will they defund it? What are they going to be able to do? Since we don't know what's in the bill until we write it, Nancy Pelosi said, we're now finding out there's much more there. And I think more challenges to come, Kevin. I think that this first Supreme Court was a disappointment, but I don't think it's the last challenge because this is such a thick code.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.